I'm Geraldo Rivera, and you're about to witness a live television event. A massive concrete vault has been discovered. Some think it belonged to none other than the notorious Al Capone. Well, tonight, for the first time, that vault is going to be open live.
Live from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, a worldwide two-hour television event from Al Capone's former headquarters in the Lexington Hotel. Tribune Entertainment and the Westgate Group are proud to present The Mystery of Al Capone's Vaults.
Oh, yeah. And Corey Ramore from the Chicago Tribune is here. Hello. Good evening.
Hi, John.
How are you? Why can't I get Ed the right microphones on? What does it say? What does that number say on there?
Four.
That should be it then.
Hello?
Hello. Wait a minute. There.
Hello.
You know, you're not going to believe this, but when I started out in this business, I could run the controls like you wouldn't believe. I was well known for my board work, but not now.
It all looks impressive to me. I'm not used to this.
Okay. So Corey's from the Tribune. She writes, you know, vintage stuff. That was Geraldo Rivera getting ready to go into the hotel in the basement and open this vault, which is one of the articles that you've written.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there.
No way.
Yeah.
Were you outside?
No.
You were inside?
I was doing my show from in there.
My God.
Yeah.
Now that's how
old I am.
Oh, no.
When you start, when stuff comes up in the Vintage Tribune and it's something that you've been to, it's like, okay. Yeah, I was there.
What was it like?
Totally disappointing. But the hype was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so Geraldo comes to town. He was with ABC. I was working with an ABC station, an O&O. And so he was on the air with Larry Lujak or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then there's all the hoopla and what is it? And there was this great crime reporter. Was he just a crime? John Drummond from Channel 2?
Oh, I love John Drummond.
He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. He was down there. So we're all at the Lexington Hotel.
Yeah.
Getting ready for Geraldo to explode this Al Capone vault. And there's nothing in it.
So 2-hour broadcast.
Yes, that's
when
right.
You realize there's not going to be anything in there.
Well, of course, you know, they had to do the build. They wouldn't do it at the top of the show.
Right.
Otherwise, everybody would go, great. There's an old green empty bottle of a beer lying in a bunch of sand. Thanks a lot. Great show, Geraldo.
Yeah, I interviewed him.
Did you?
Yeah, like 5 years ago about this.
Really?
And I asked him about it, and he said, you know, we were really proud of the fact that we were doing history. We were presenting kind of a documentary, history of Al Capone. And at that time, I guess that wasn't as, I mean, it was no Ken Burns produced documentary, you know? I think we could all see through that. But like you said, John, it filled the airtime, gave some background, mm-hmm. and I think it kind of gave them some time off the air to kind of figure things out, like how are we going to explode this thing?
And well, it was live.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we're not pre-taping anything.
No, nothing. You know,
It was live.
The historical part of it was pre-taped, though.
Yes, but the actual, we're going to open this vault.
Yes.
It was live, and a part of the build-up was live, mm-hmm. and there was really nothing in there.
No.
What was interesting, though, to me, was that this had been Al Capone's headquarters for a while, this hotel.
Yeah.
And I'm roaming around. And I go upstairs and there's this big, I guess you would call it a ballroom.
Yes.
And the walls are pockmarked with machine gun. They've been shooting machine guns against the walls.
Amazing.
Or Tommy guns, whatever they called them back in the day.
Yeah, Tommy guns.
And all those bullet holes are on these walls.
Do you think they put them there for effect?
No. Yeah, Corey. They had a special effects people come in there, paint some bullet holes in the wall, okay? No, they got that Al Capone and his henchmen are like henchmen.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
You know, but what did Geraldo, I mean, he took a lot of grief for this.
He did. But Somebody, I forget who, I either read this somewhere or someone told me this when I was, because like, this is one of my favorite Chicago things ever, this whole mystery of Al Capone's vaults thing. And somebody said that there was nothing in the vault except Geraldo's career, because he initially thought he was done. He told me there was an after party for all the crew after the show, and he didn't go there. He said he found a Mexican restaurant and just started doing shots of tequila.
I don't blame him.
And went back to his hotel room. And it wasn't until, I think, early the next morning when he realized, wow, the ratings were incredible.
Oh, no, they were off the charts.
Incredible. So much so that the company I worked for offered him a talk show. And I think he had a talk show for like 10 years after that.
Hey, can you play that intro again? Because I think it's a Tribune. They mentioned a Tribune. Let's go ahead. Hit it.
I'm Geraldo Rivera, and you're about to witness a live television event. A massive concrete vault has been discovered. Some think it belonged to none other than the notorious Al Capone. Well, tonight, for the first time, that vault is going to be open live.
Now, we're going to get a thing here where...
Live from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, a worldwide two-hour television event from Al Capone's former headquarters in the Lexington Hotel. Tribune Entertainment and the Westgate Group are proud to present...
I thought I heard Tribune Entertainment in there.
Yes. Yeah. So the story behind that is, do you remember Doug Llewellyn from the People's Court?
Oh my God, Corey, you're off the wall.
I love
it. Yes, I do remember him. Yes. Of course.
And I interviewed him about this too. And he said he and like a small group of people had been shopping this around, and that this Tribune Entertainment was relatively new. Mm-hmm. And so they were interested in doing something like this. And so I think the December before the show, Doug Llewellyn and some of the head honchos from Tribune Entertainment took a group of reporters into the Lexington Hotel, took them into Al Capone's suite, which at this point was like, there's nothing left. There's like tiles on the walls in the bathroom, and that's like it.
So this is in 1986, April something.
Yes, that's when the broadcast took place.
April what?
I think it was April 21st. April 21st. Yeah. So, 1986.
There it is. I'm sorry. We're right around. Yes. April 21st, 1986.
Mm-hmm.
This week in Chicago history. And by the way, there's way more. When we come back with Corey Rumor on 720 WGN. Good evening. John Landecker with a special Corey Rumor sports report at 821 concerning her son's Little League baseball team. Fill us in.
Okay, so I had to leave a little bit early, so I think it went extra innings, but I'm being told by my husband that his team, Kirzner Orthodontics, won. They beat Guzman and Gomez. I think it's an Australian taco place that just opened in Evanston.
Wait, hold on a second. An Australian taco place?
Yeah, yeah. I've not been there yet, so I can't vouch for
it. I wasn't aware that Australia had a particular taco, but I'm glad to hear that they do. Why not?
Why not? And, you know, I'm very thankful to Kirzner Orthodontics for sponsoring my kids' team. But at the same token, I kind of wish we would get some free food. So
now, wait. He's got free shirts, doesn't he? Does the whole team have the shirts that say that?
Yeah, the whole team has a jersey. I don't think they're going to give us a discount, though, on braces. So, you know. But good job, Boone, and everybody on Kirzner Orthodontics.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that we got that sports report in. Now, Corey from the Tribune does the Vintage Tribune every week. It appears in your inbox on... What do you know?
Thursdays. On Mondays Thursdays. And Thursdays.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was an article that you did about McDonald's turning 70.
Yeah.
And it took me back because, once again, just like Geraldo Rivera's vault, I was there.
Did you go to Displains?
Not there, but not I did. One? I did pay in my hometown. 15 cents for fries, 20 cents for milkshakes, riding my bike over there.
Aww.
Yeah. Did it all the time.
Yeah. I grew up in Des Plaines, never made it to the original McDonald's.
Right, right.
But it's kind of a cool thing. Like, wherever I go in the world, I think a lot of McDonald's stores now are being remodeled, but they used to have a plaque that would have, you know, the image of Ray Kroc, mm-hmm. and it said the first one was founded in Des Plaines, Illinois. So it was kind of cool to go to Europe and see the plaque. It says Des Plaines, Illinois on it.
You travel all the way. Excuse me. You travel all the way to Europe, and there's another set of golden arches right down from the Colosseum, almost.
Yes, yes.
I exaggerate, but you know what I mean.
No, you're right. Yeah. Well, in McDonald's, anywhere you go, they have different things that you could try that, yeah. you know, they don't sell at our McDonald's. So
That's
it does
true.
Make it kind of fun.
They have an international aspect to them.
Absolutely.
That I'm unaware of because I don't think I've ever gone into a McDonald's in a foreign country.
Really?
Yeah.
I make a point of it just because it's like, you know, and trust me, I'm a big tourist. I want to make sure I see what a place is known for. But at the same token, it's like McDonald's, there's something comforting about it because
oh, sure.
it's from here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that first franchise opened up in Des Plaines. In what, 1955?
Yeah, April 15th, 1955.
And then what happened? How does all this unfold for McDonald's?
It exploded.
It
but
did.
You have to go back before 1955 because Ray Kroc, who Ooh. Was, yeah, yeah.
He goes to California.
He goes to California.
Yeah.
And he meets the McDonald's brothers.
Yes.
Who he's amazed that they, at their place in San Bernardino, California, just are able to handle a huge volume of food. And I read his autobiography last week, Ray Kroc's, and he talked about how he was just amazed that people would come up. He sat there in the parking lot for like a full day watching this restaurant and how quickly they were able to get food ready, distribute it to people. And he talked to people in the parking lot and they loved it. They loved that they could come and get food quickly, mm-hmm. which we kind of take for advantage today.
And there was sort of an assembly line.
Yes, absolutely.
Aspect to it, right?
Yes, there was like a Ford assembly line structure.
Yeah, right.
And that's what Ray Kroc really liked. And so when he had a chance to open the franchise, the first McDonald's franchise in Des Plaines, he was all about following the same playbook that the McDonald's brothers had used, trying to replicate that same success. But the interesting thing is, even down to the building design in Des Plaines, but the problem with that is San Bernardino is like a warmer, drier climate.
Right.
So right away, there were some issues with the building and with how the food was produced. So he had to figure out how to make things work.
And he did.
And he did.
And he did, yeah.
He did.
I mean, I'm sure they discontinued it. Maybe you do know when they discontinued, saying how many million were sold.
Oh my gosh! I mean, tried to find that. It's, you know, billions now.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it's like that number would go up. It would go up. It would go up. Oh, and they're selling a lot.
Yeah,
they're selling a whole heck of a lot.
Exactly.
I'll say.
Exactly.
And now it's like different. I mean, fish fillet and
it's now, we don't care how many we've sold. We've sold more than everybody else.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Happy Meals.
Oh my gosh. Happy Meals, which turned 40 years old,
oh my
I think
God.
A few years ago.
Really?
So, yeah. 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 It was interesting.
Are they still happy? Or?
I'm not so happy these days after I eat one. I'm getting too old to eat Happy Meals. But I thought one thing was really interesting. Ray Kroc himself came up with an idea of something outside of burgers and fries and milkshakes to serve on the menu. It was called the Hula Burger. What do you think was on the Hula Burger?
Pineapple.
Yes. Grilled pineapple.
And it did not go over.
It did not go over.
You don't
well
put
at all.
The pineapple on hamburgers. You don't put pineapple on pizza. It's just, you don't do it. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
You just don't do it.
Yeah, that's what McDonald's customers felt like too.
But, you know, it all worked out well.
Oh my God.
To say the least.
Absolutely.
And as usual, our time together is coming to an end, and we could go on because we can. But tonight I've got some other people coming in. Tell them about the Vintage Tribune, how to get it.
Yeah.
So you can read your stuff every week.
go to ChicagoTribune.com. You can search for my name, Corey Rumor. The newsletter is called Vintage Chicago Tribune. You can sign up for it on the website at ChicagoTribune.com. It's totally free. It comes out Mondays and Thursdays. And then every day of the week on the Chicago Tribune's website, I put out a Today in Chicago History, a look back every single day at what happened in and around the city.
And there's a lot of things we didn't have time to get to, but that's just the way it goes.
That's how we roll, John.
That's how we roll. Right. Because you just never know what's going to happen when Corey comes in. Just never know.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for being with us. I appreciate it.